The housing market is hot. There are three times more buyers than sellers. It's more important now than ever to make sure you have your financing in place before you even find the house. Get pre-approved today at thehomeloanexpert.com. The Home Loan Expert, LLC.
I thought I did Cole a favor here, trying to teach him a nice lesson. We share a computer in here, and he's in a situation where he doesn't log off a lot. And his doesn't lock for some reason. He's got to get it to lock. So I sent a smiley face off his Twitter account today. He's killing me.
Oh, so you tweeted from under Cole Kublik?
Well, I did. Just a smiley face to let him know, dude, you got to lock it down.
Yeah, that could be a problem.
I mean, anybody else could have come in here and really blasted it. I don't know how many computers Cole, like he's doing another show in another studio right now. You start leaving this open everywhere. And as I told Brown last time this happened, I'm tempted to jump on here, break down film, in a bad way, just so people think Cole has lost it.
Well, you know, in the 6 o'clock hour yesterday, we were talking about the Brian Colangelo situation, which, by the way, he's about to lose his job.
He is going to lose his job.
I don't see how you keep that.
His career, not just his job. Yeah. He'll never work in the NBA again. He's going to lose his job over Twitter.
And it's apparently his old lady that was doing it is what a lot of people think.
this is a crazy, crazy situation. Was in such a good spot and such a good basketball name. And what his father was able to do and the direction the Sixers are going. But anyway, what I was going to say is we had Laurel, our intern, create a Twitter account just to show the ease of just putting one of these burner accounts out there. And we were going to tweet at you just to kind of mess with your mind. But we decided because you were on vacation not to do it.
We shut it down in a break. We were going to do it just to see how long it would take you to block us just to prove how easily this was done.
I don't block people.
Well, we were going to see. And...
Are you like me? You just mute people, right?
I'm mute.
Yeah, I've muted. Lance and I
almost every segment I mute somebody.
Lance and I discussed it. Lance and I discussed it at the break. I said, Dunaway's on vacation. He's such a nice guy. Let's don't do that to him.
Well, thank you, because one bad tweet would have sent me spiraling out of control.
That's what we said.
For those of you that have been to Wrigley before, it was my first time for a game, actually. And I rarely go somewhere that I'm not disappointed in some form or fashion. It Wrigley did not disappoint. It was amazing.
Yeah, that's good to hear because from the Boomer Schooner to the Chaps on the Texas Cheerleaders to, I mean, there's been so many. The Arch in St. Louis.
I thought the Ivy wasn't going to be green enough.
Yeah. I was worried about that.
Graceland was massively
underwhelmed. I was worried about the Ivy not being in. It was full green. It was plush. It was fantastic.
Yep.
If I could correct something for the Cubs.
Okay. how long has Wrigley been in business there, Lance?
A long time.
Yes. All right, go ahead.
Well, I'm not trying to fix the USGA and their 73rd Women's U.S. Open.
Right.
The vendors walking up and down the aisles.
Uh-huh.
Now, I was in row one down the third baseline. I don't know if you get vendors all over. I got a, hey, love the show out in the lobby.
Okay.
Good.
Yeah, perfect. Got going. Oh, concourse, not
concourse,
a lobby.
Not a lobby.
Yeah,
and so it's not a church.
There were other listeners that were in the upper deck or in other parts of the stadium. We did not bump into each other. But if I could correct one thing, the vendors walking by me at a constant rate, beer guys, like two different ones every half inning.
Okay.
Now,
a problem for most people.
I finally jumped in second inning and saying, okay, I'm not going to the concession stand the rest of the game. Because I found out their beer was actually colder than the concession stand.
Okay.
So I was all in on those guys at that point. But the first inning, we had three runs in each top and the bottom of the inning.
What was the big problem?
I'm on the aisle, and they're working. Well, we had one guy that was a singer.
Well, he was just trying to make a buck.
Don't you want my beer?
Oh, man.
He did it better than that.
Don't you want it now?
Right.
So he did a little Human League version.
Okay. He had different songs for each one, and if you bought one, he went into a different song.
Yeah. Oh, that's a reward. That's awesome.
How about if I give you 20 and you never come back?
How many times has he been tripped down those stairs?
Oh, and there was one guy, none of you remember this, but Captain Kangaroo. Does anybody remember? Google Captain Kangaroo.
I can vaguely remember Captain Kangaroo. Yes.
If you Google Captain Kangaroo.
Didn't he wear like a jumpsuit?
I thought he had a big, thick coat.
I thought he had a jumpsuit with a creepy mustache.
He did have a creepy mustache. He retired from children's television.
Looked like a smoker, too.
And is now walking the aisles selling beer at Wrigley Field. So much so that the season ticket holders behind us said, oh, you gotta buy your beer from Captain Kangaroo. He's got the coldest beer. And he walks around with an ice bag on his beer.
I like that guy. But it takes the extra mile.
So I was Captain Kangaroo. I got to look for a guy in a captain's hat. And then he walked down the aisle, and I was like, oh, Captain Kangaroo. I get it now. Jeff and Aniston is next with us. No correlation there with knucklehead Jay Jacobs to my friend Jeff and Aniston. Jeff, how are you?
Oh, doing great, man. Hope you enjoyed your vacation.
I did. Do I sound energized this morning?
Yes, you do. You're full of Jim and vinegar.
Jim and vinegar. I like that. Yes.
Do y'all think Buster might just once or twice look at his phone during his daughter's graduation while her name's not being called?
Oh, heck yeah.
You think he does?
Yeah, that's a good game. I mean, well, I think he said the graduation was Sunday morning, so I guess he'll be out by then, which is a weird time for graduation, Sunday morning. But
don't you guys picture guys like Buster and really Adam Schefter and those guys that no matter where they are, that they're always looking at their phone?
Yep. Yeah.
And I feel, gotta be. I mean, I know they get paid well for that, but boy, I'd hate to have to do that. I'd hate to be married to my phone like that. Because that is such a competitive field, Lance, like Jay Glazer and those NFL guys.
Got to be the first to break the news.
I mean, that's how you make your money, is being the first to break the news. And the fear is you put your phone down for 30 minutes and Bill Belichick announces his retirement. And you could have had the story first. I bet those guys never turn their phone off.
You think they take their phones to the bathroom instead of a magazine?
Oh, heck yeah. Well, I do that.
I think 99% of the population does that.
Yeah, I do that.
Golly. Hey, Jim, I miss you on the news, man. I'm not sure how you were able to keep it up doing it. I told a couple of people I don't know how he's able to keep doing it. And I miss your sports banner with the guy, and I miss you as a sports guy, too.
Well, I hope people don't think I quit on them because, I did it as long as I could with two jobs. I hope you're not disappointed with me only having one job now. Like, it seems like my dad is.
It started.
Yep. I mean, it's amazing.
I just feel like I let the whole city down.
Jeff, you know? He'll be back. He'll be back to TV.
No, don't worry about it.
I don't want to make you feel self-conscious, but a couple of times you look tired on the news.
Oh,
I might have just...
You work 90 hours a week, Jeff.
Yeah, you see how you feel.
Hey, listen, that doesn't bother me like it bothers Lance, I'll promise you. I've always looked tired.
A couple things. I hope y'all hadn't done these already, but ESPN recently did a world fame top 100 for the athlete. And they used three factors, endorsement, Google Trend score, and social media following, which would be more surprising to y'all that four of the top 13 were tennis players, or that 10 of the top 100 are cricket players, including nine Indians.
Nine Indians.
Both. I mean, I don't even know where to go on that. I couldn't tell you. I guess
10 cricket players, nine of them are Indians.
The fact that nine of them are from India does not shock me at all. Yeah, that's where cricket is massive.
Yeah, but I thought Pakistan would have more. But
that's a huge population over there.
Yeah, well, they got 3 billion people in that joint.
And I think I've told the story before.
And excuse me, Pakistan.
If you go to the Caribbean, anywhere in the Caribbean, and you get ESPN Caribbean, all they show is cricket.
Most confusing game ever, too.
Yeah, it is.
And it lasts forever. They play over a number of days, don't they?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it lasts longer than a SEC-CBS game.
My Lyft driver in Chicago was trying to explain it to me because, of course, Jim doesn't like to ride in silence, and I had to start a conversation.
What about cricket?
No, but Jeff,
you ain't on the news tonight.
That
I don't know what the hell's going on.
That top 100, I saw it, but when I started to see the athletes that I've never even heard of, I kind of flushed it.
I was out.
I think Formula One does really well in that, too, and it's just not big in America.
No. A couple other things. I was surprised a little bit that it was three soccer, three basketball, two tennis, and two golfers in the top 10, and no football until number 38, which y'all can probably guess, and only four in the top 100. Can y'all guess those four names?
In football?
Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, J.J. Watt.
That's three.
And
I don't know who your fourth one would be.
No, Brian, don't break the role here, man.
I got no idea who it would be. Colin Kaepernick?
No, it's going to be another quarterback. Russell Wilson.
Correct. The Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, he said Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers already.
Oh, Brady, Breeze.
Breeze. Breeze is the one. Breeze. I didn't think he'd be on there. Yeah.
Yeah, Breeze. I looked at I had a lot of time on my hands. ESPN's top 100 recruits, and I know y'all aren't wild about recruits, but ESPN top 100 recruits the last 10 years, which is more surprising to y'all, that four states make up well over half or that Alabama is tied for fifth with Louisiana.
I'm not shocked by that. Alabama traditionally, per capita, and I know you're not talking per capita right now, you're talking just straight up, but per capita, Alabama traditionally has as many players in the top 100 as anybody, and in the NFL draft as anybody. You look per capita, Alabama does extremely well in that.
So, Jeff, the four states, Florida, California, Texas, and Georgia?
Yeah, that's what it's
got
to be.
And they got, let me see, 563
yeah.
of them.
And then Alabama's fifth and LSU sixth is what you said?
No, LSU's fifth. They're tied for fifth. And a couple of other points that jumped at me. Wisconsin has only had one in 10 years.
Yeah.
They always have one of the better teams. And I was surprised that Ohio was ninth behind North Carolina and Virginia, and that Mississippi had as many as Pennsylvania. And also, Michigan's only had nine. I always thought they were more of a football hotbed.
Yeah, the country's moving south.
Right? It is. There's no doubt it is. Yeah. Jeff, thank you. I mean, because Ohio used to be really, really, really big in recruiting. But in Michigan, too, Jim. But I don't think you're incorrect about that. A lot of those guys have moved south.
Jeff strikes me as the guy that reads the tag on the pillow. Do not rip this off.
Didn't take his phone to the bathroom.
I mean, he reads freaking everything.
I haven't even got to the best part of the trip yet.
What? Your seats?
Do you know what convention was going on at my hotel? I'll let you Google it for yourself at home. Mr. International Leather. We were at the Overflow Hotel for Mr. International Leather.
What?
I'm not sure you can Google it at work, Brown. But go ahead. Go ahead and try.
Yeah, I want to see. They play a lot of village people at that thing?
Yes, they do, my friend.
That is an interesting-looking event, Jim.
It was international, Brown. So there was Norwegians and Scandinavians, Icelanders, all dressed up in leather.
This guy looks like he's rounding people up.
And as my son pointed out, my 13-year-old son pointed out, Dad, does that guy have on stilettos? Yes, son, he does.
It would be worse. He's like, cool. Screw the Cubs.
And until you see a 6'5 guy in nothing but leather shorts, a holster-like thing across his chest sideways, in stilettos, and he's cut up like he could play defensive end and he's 6'5 in stilettos, so he's up there now, and cut up like he could play defensive end for the Bears, greased up on a Memorial Day afternoon, you have not lived, my friend.
The best part of it is that you were the Overflow Hotel, so those were the guys that were not in contention, so they were really trying to get attention, so they probably had it dialed way up.
Yeah. Every time the elevator door would open, it was like, wong, wong, wong. Wrong door, Monty. Wrong door. 21 after.
Did Maggie go to the show?
I will tell you, I said a lot of yes sirs getting off those elevators. Georgia and Auburn has become a big sticking point. Alan Green, the athletic director at Auburn, down at the SEC meetings, which are going on in Destin. He had his belief that a lot of people believe, I believe too, that Georgia-Auburn should be, if they're going to stay where they are on the schedule, they should not be both home, both road for Auburn. When they did that, it sort of, you know, jacked up Auburn's schedule.
And we never talk about this side of it for Georgia, but they also play at Auburn and at Georgia Tech on the off years as well. So they have the same exact situation.
So it would help their home schedule if they flipped it back around as well.
Right.
But Alan Green said the Iron Bowl's not moving earlier in the year. I was born at night, but it wasn't last night, was his great quote to Brandon Marcello. So the question now becomes, what do you do with Georgia and Auburn? Is it as easy as saying, let's play 1 year back-to-back and flip this thing back around? Some people point out that's going to jack up a lot of people's numbers and future schedules and all that. So then the debate has come maybe not playing it at the time of year they play at Brown.
Well, you know, Alan Green brought this up yesterday. I was reading Brandon Marcello of Auburn Undercover, and there is apparently some agreement, Lance, in the SEC office and at Georgia about actually moving this game earlier because you're not going to be able to flip it. Flipping it isn't as easy as just, oh, Auburn will play Georgia twice at home or whatever.
We're a long way off from this, so because the schedule's set through 2025.
Actually, what I read according to Brandon is maybe as early as 2020 they could do this. I don't know how. This, to me, is more complicated for Georgia than it is for Auburn.
Well, I guess what I'm trying to say then, the SEC scheduling rotation is set through 2025, yeah. So you could move dates.
This is more complicated for Georgia than for Auburn because the middle of Auburn's schedule doesn't have really traditional rivals, right? I mean, LSU, for whatever reason, when they play it at Auburn is always September. When they play it at Baton Rouge is always October.
Seems to be that way.
So the year you're playing at LSU, if you had Georgia in October, that's a pretty tough month for you, but you're going to have to play them at some point. But for Georgia, you've got the cocktail party that is not moving. They are not going to move that date. That's the Iron Bowl for them, right? That game ain't moving.
And if you're Georgia, you don't want Auburn anywhere close to that. You always take the week off before the cocktail party.
That's right.
You don't want to slide Auburn into that off week.
Yep. So you're looking at early October. I guess the question I ask, because to me, part of the appeal to rivalry games is actually the time of year they're played. Like, I don't think the Iron Bowl would feel the same if it were played week one or week five or week six. Do you guys agree with me?
You know, Florida State and Miami got away with it Labor Day weekend a few years, and it seemed like a big, big game. But, yeah, it would seem really different. I mean, we're way too conditioned for that game to be Thanksgiving weekend.
I don't think it's going to...
I think Georgia-Auburn would have a different feel if it was outside of
November. And that's what I'm asking you. Do we want that game outside of November? I mean, it feels like... Georgia Auburn is just, it's the start of November for me. I mean, I don't know.
The schedule seems unfair for Auburn right now where it is.
Right.
But great teams find ways to navigate really difficult schedules. When has a schedule ever beaten a team?
What do you mean? Where it's obviously the best team in the country, but the schedule was just too difficult.
I can't recall that.
I mean, maybe LSU in 2011, but it wasn't necessarily the schedule. It was the fact that they had to beat the second-best team in the country twice.
Yeah, they went undefeated on that schedule.
Yeah, and they couldn't beat the second-best team, so that team became the best team in the country.
But if Auburn is unbeaten rolling into this hellacious ending this year, it would make a difference having one of those at home and one on the road. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. I mean,
they're
9-0
going into Georgia.
Jordan Hare and how different they are.
Yeah, 9-0 going into the Georgia game. If you knew one of those, Georgia or Alabama, was at home, it wouldn't look as daunting going into that. But I see your point. If you're 9-0, you're going to think you can beat anybody. And oftentimes you do.
Well, I remember 2006. I don't know why this comes up, but when Urban Meyer won his first national championship, I remember before the season looking at Florida's schedule and talking about how difficult and it was going to be impossible for them to get through that schedule. And they lose one game in the regular season. Then they ultimately won a national championship. Notre Dame, the year they played Alabama in 2012, we all talked about it on the show, how difficult their schedule was going in. They went undefeated in the regular season.
Just clipped them off. Boom,
great
boom, boom.
Teams find a way to navigate a schedule.
Yeah, that's a great point. I agree with you on that. I don't disagree with you at all. This is just it's a solution to this problem for Georgia and Auburn that I had never considered, is moving the game earlier. But again, I'm surprised if anyone at Georgia is on board with this. I'm a little surprised by it because it's more complicated for them. I mean, if you just moved it, and this year's a bad year because Georgia's got a road game at LSU. I mean, if it were October 6th, you would have Auburn at home, at LSU, bye week, Florida. I mean, does anybody want to play that October?
No, but you're going to end up moving one SEC game to fill that slot for Georgia, right?
Right, so maybe it's Vandy.
Yeah, or maybe you move LSU late in the year for Georgia.
Yeah.
Or one of their rotating games from the West late in the year
and
for Georgia.
And see, for LSU then, now you've created, they're playing Alabama and Georgia in back-to-back weeks. I mean, so it's, you know, these things have ripple effects.
I know, but one of the ripple effects is that we've jacked up Auburn's amen corner, traditional amen corner already, by them not playing Florida every year.
Right.
Because old school amen corner included Florida, Georgia, Alabama.
Right. That got lost in the divisions.
Right.
When we went to divisions, that game got lost.
Yeah, in 1992 divisions, we lose that to some degree. And I think a lot of old school Auburn fans, you know, sort of, you know, miss that. And we talk traditions in this conference, and we talk about rivalry games in this conference a lot. That was a tradition for Auburn fans. Amen Corner was tough, but it was something, you know, Auburn coaches and players embraced all the time. And now you're going to move Georgia out of that, so now there's no even semblance left of Amen Corner. Now it's just Alabama at the end. I'm not an Auburn fan, so I don't know how it comes down on the vote. If you wanted to show that on a poll or something, Brown, do you want to move the Georgia game earlier in the year? maybe that'll be something, you know, good to just gauge unscientifically on how Auburn fans feel. I know getting it back to one home and one away seems like it should be something we're able to do in 2018. We've got great minds working on this. Let's figure it out. Alan Green, though, on the record, along with the Auburn coach and others over the course of the last 2 years, saying they'd like to see it done sooner rather than later. Four Downs, brought to you by our friends at Vulcan Tire.
If you're looking for that new set of tires to replace heavy vehicle service, look no further than Vulcan Tire and Automotive, locally owned, independently run, two great locations, one right off of I-459 in Trustful, and that new Moody location right off of I-20, a half mile past the Publix. It's Vulcan Tire and Automotive.
First down.
All right, these are roundtable themed questions.
All right. That's my favorite show.
Ooh. Question number one, this show has been together for almost 10 years. Can you think of your favorite moment that had happened with a phone caller on this show?
This is difficult. I remember we did something, and it was just organically done, where we had our listeners try to get somebody famous to call us.
I do remember that, yes.
And I think the most famous person that ended up calling was Sean Alexander.
It was. Former NFL MVP.
Yeah.
Yeah, the kid from Kicking It.
Yeah, Alex Jones from Kicking It on Disney Channel.
The goalie from the national team for the... Do you believe in miracles?
Yeah. Oh, Mike Caruzione.
Yeah. Mike Caruzione called.
But I thought that was a fun, like, caller-driven show.
And then somebody claiming to be Cat Williams, and we never could determine if it was actually Cat Williams.
Somebody said they were Bernie Mac. Yeah. Bernie Mac had been dead for a while.
Yeah, that's true. Somebody picked the wrong celebrity.
Yeah, we did start getting impersonations, right?
But that's
what everybody.
A lot of Harry Carey.
Yes.
One singular call really doesn't jump out to me. I don't know about you guys.
If I could stretch a little bit and go with a guest, I think all of us would say the Barry Switzer interview. I mean, it was one of the high points of our show's history. None of us saw that coming.
I still remember where we were.
I do, too. We were at Ramon's, right? It was our Christmas show at Ramon's, and we had on Barry Switzer, and it was, I mean, it was insanity.
Man liked the word damn.
It was insanity.
Because you know he was drunk, but he was so controlled.
People still bring it up today. How many years ago is that? It's when Auburn played Oklahoma in the Sugar Bowl. It's been a couple of years ago, and I still have people bring that up.
Our Christmas show at Ramon's makes it sound like we're that family that does a Christmas show every year. What's
the
that
the Dean family Christmas?
The Dean family Christmas. Join us at Ramon's this year for our Christmas show.
You want to talk about a crazy trip. That Dean family Christmas is a crazy trip.
Second down.
Right, this is going to be a fun one. This show has now worked in all three day parts of the WJOX programming. Rank those in the order of your liking. Let's go with Lance first.
I'm going to go with 10 to 2 was 1.
Okay.
Well, we were there for a long time.
Yeah, we were.
2 to 6 was 2. And for me, the
barely 3 was what?
Yeah. The new 6 to 10 is going to be number 3. It's going to get the bronze for me.
6 to 8 is 3 for Lance.
I did not like afternoons. I hated leaving when it was dark. Did you guys not hate that?
Yeah, I didn't like that.
Oh, God, I hated that.
I didn't like it either because I felt like everyone else is...
I like that better than going to sleep when it's light, though.
I hated leaving in the dark.
I don't want to say I'm Mr. 100 here, but I've fallen in love with this time.
You know, it's been way better than I had anticipated. I was thinking about this driving in this morning, Rockstar. I am much more of a morning person than I ever thought I was. Yeah. I didn't really know.
These guys will outlast me on this show.
Well, it's not great, but it's a lot better than I thought it was going to be. I'll give you that.
Yeah, I mean, I
had
no idea.
Even you were saying that? You're not joking.
Well, I'm not completely miserable. It's not fun getting up.
Completely miserable. No, Rockstar was completely miserable.
I was like, this is going to be horrible.
Once you get up.
Yeah.
And once you're out of bed in the car, it's okay.
Yeah. And the underrated thing about it is being finished at 10 o'clock and having your whole day in front of you is remarkable.
The number of margaritas I'm enjoying at 11 o'clock now is insane. Insane.
Third down.
Piggybacking on that, since we wake up so early now, what is the first thing that goes through your mind when that alarm goes off?
Unfortunately for me, it's knowing that I've got to get out of bed immediately because I can't hit a snooze because I don't have any time to actually hit a snooze.
Yeah, see, I don't snooze anymore either on the alarm clock because I'm afraid if I go back, I don't wake up. But I'll say the first thing I think about every day is when an alarm goes off, what day is it?
Like, Sunday.
Is it a work day or not a work
day? Did I accidentally do this for the weekend?
Yes.
The first thing I do is, this is a weird thing I do, is I look at my phone to make sure it's my 4:15 alarm. I don't know why I do that. Like, I've got a 415 and a backup 445 set, just in case something happens.
Well, I've got a 415, a 420, a 425, 430.
I didn't go that long. I'd love to sleep next to you.
Yeah.
You didn't have to finish that season. I'd love to sleep next to you.
That's all keep on her side of the bed, right?
Couch anyway. What does it matter, right?
Usually, yeah.
Fourth down.
Look, no joke.
Yeah, I know. I've never doubted it.
All right, what non-planned segment that has happened on the show comes to your mind frequently and makes you laugh?
The one trash we did probably a decade ago.
Yep.
La Excelencia.
It was amazing.
I still think about it every couple of months. I don't think I've ever laughed that hard in my 20 years of radio.
And I gauge every trash on the table next to that one.
Well,
from now on, it's like,
wow.
Did Michelangelo do anything else after the 16th
well,
chapel?
I think
after the what, Jim?
What? The 16th chapel.
16.
Who was the guy in?
Where
in
the first 15?
Was it El Gringo?
El Gringo.
El Guapo.
El Guapo. Yeah.
El Guapo is the guy that I can just sit there sitting at a table. I just envision that.
Jefe, we don't have to work.
Yeah, and he's just he's got a gun, and his other guys have got grenades, and you can't quit playing.
Well, besides that story, one that reminds me of Lance is that he lost it. He couldn't even read the story. It was the Jonathan Lee Riches who was suing because he said he met Barry Bonds at a local Denny's when they did drug deals, and he said that Barry Bonds was doing steroids and he cracked the Liberty Bell. Yeah. Lance could not even read it. Lance throwing the nectarine at the window.
Yeah, right? That was very good too.
That was a good one.
Was something you did, and I was trying to think of this. Something you did that you did it on a Friday, right? So it was just a line you had, and for the rest of the weekend, I laughed at it. Every time I thought about it, I laughed at it. But for the life of me, I cannot remember what the line was.
This is just like our Christmas show. We reflect on the year.
No, there's no doubt. We're going to replay this at Christmas.
I can't wait till the Deans sing Silent Night a little bit later on.
Yeah, they don't do the classics, Jim. They do their own stuff.
Is Jonathan Lee Riches still alive?
I think so. I think he's in West Virginia or Virginia. He handwrites all of his lawsuits.
That is Four Downs, brought to you by
our friends at Vulcan Tire and Automotive. Quality of service, second to none, that is both quick and efficient. Best tire pricing in all of Birmingham. Two great locations, one in Trustful, one in Moody. It's Vulcan Tire and Automotive.
The housing market is hot. There are three times more buyers than sellers. It's more important now than ever to make sure you have your financing in place before you even find the house. Get pre-approved today at thehomeloanexpert.com. The Home Loan Expert, LLC.